We are live on Jaguars.com, inside the Jaguars, inside Everbank Field. The Jaguars have made a third-round selection. It is defensive back Dwayne Gratz out of UConn, 5'11", 201-pounder. Glad you're with us live on Jaguars.com for immediate reaction to this pick. As we thought before, it's defense again for defensive backfield that was quite depleted after this last offseason. A number of names went away. They worked on it last pick. They do it again as we join John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com. They go defensive back this time.
Yeah, I'll grab my wealth of information, which is right here on the bio, right? Yeah, I mean, clearly they knew the secondary was an issue. They lost their cornerbacks. They released Rasheen Mathis. A lot of other guys gone. Derek Cox gone. So you figured at some point in third or fourth round they were going to go cornerback. This guy was the number 7 rated prospect at the cornerback position by NFL Draft Scout. So obviously not a no-name in terms of the draft picks.
A season ago with UConn, 53 tackles, 3 interceptions for the Huskies. And this was the player in the Orange Bowl a couple of years ago. They played Oklahoma. And Landry Jones threw a pick six, and that was to Dwayne Gratz, and Oklahoma won that ball game big. Certainly another need spot,
right?
And obviously this player up on their board and a pretty high mark.
Well, and it's going to be interesting. You know, Dave Caldwell said this week he looks for starters, first, second, third round, that third or fourth round, sort of a nickel corner type guy. But with the Jaguars situation at cornerback right now, with Allen Ball, Antoine Holden, Mike Harris, you would think Gratz has a real chance to come in and start. In a lot of years, maybe not at that, you know, a third round or maybe not. In this year, you would certainly think he has a chance. Interesting to note, 5'11", 201 seems to fit that mold of that big cornerback. You would think he's a physical guy who can play press.
And the trend continues of no trades. We were talking about the possibility of second, maybe even third round, the Jaguars trading down to get more picks, and all of a sudden they have 3 draft picks and no trades.
Yeah, and I think they've been maybe a little surprised at the lack of any movement, not necessarily in the first round, but in the second round tonight. I think with this one, probably not so much surprise, but from talking to them in the beginning of last night and tonight, when they see a guy they want, they're going to go after him. My guess is they've scouted this guy heavily, and they like this guy as a fit for this defense.
Let's go quickly now to the podium. First press conference after the selection in the third round.
We got a cornerback. You guys happy? So we're happy about it. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but smart, tough, competitive, reliable as a person, as a player. You know, he's an ideal scheme fit for us. He's got good length. He's got very good speed. Which that those two combinations. You know, Coach Braylon and I talked about. If they don't have length, they have to have speed. If they don't have speed, they have to have length. Well, this guy has both of them. So we feel really good about that. And he's a good tackler. He's a physical kid. He's got good press man cover skills, and those are the things we like about him, as well as his ball skills. He's an athlete. I think he still holds the state high school hurdle record, or 55-meter hurdle. So this is an athletic kid that, you know, I think his best football is in front of him.
You know, a lot of people had his teammate Wilson above him. What would he do to sort of jump in?
You know, again, Senior Bowl week had a nice week, and then just the competitiveness with this kid and his ability to tackle and play physical, and we feel like, you know, our guys are going to be out there on an island and have the mindset and the mental and physical toughness to play down and down out there on that island.
Dave, a lot was made of the ability that Luke had to play against top-flight competition and produce. Now in the second and third round, you've picked guys who aren't from let's say marquee conferences. Well, how much weight did that carry?
Not a
whole
lot.
In terms of production.
Yeah, not a whole lot, because it's Division I, and you know, the Big East is a good conference. They play good football up there, and you know, they're a BCS school and they get an automatic bid, so we feel good about that. And they played Louisville, who beat, you know, Florida at the end of this year. So it's the Big East is a good football conference. Florida International, they had a really, if you look at their defensive strength of schedule, they played some really good offensive teams. I think they're in the top 30 in terms of offensive teams they played in efficiency in Division I. So they played good competition. And on top of everything else, these two guys went to the Senior Bowl against the best of the best and really stood out.
And so that had something to do with it. You're seeing them in person against talent, like you said, at the senior bowl.
Absolutely. And they're Division I players. They're, you know, Connecticut's a BCS school, and Florida International is not, but they play BCS teams.
A little obvious here, but why does three-year starters make a big difference? I mean, all three of these guys you've gotten are three-year starters.
Well, that's a good thing, but you're not coincidence on that, I would say. But but obviously, we want production. We want a history of production, and we want a history of play time. And like we said, reliable. We keep preaching the same thing, and we're kind of sticking to our theme here. And you know, what we said all along in free agency is we want reliable guys out there that are going to be durable and can, you know, handle the down in down out stuff at the NFL.
So you see Gratz as somebody who can be an eventual starter for you, as opposed to just being a nickel guy?
Yeah, I think he has to compete for it, but you know, from the length and the size and the speed and the athleticism, he has all the tools to do it. So we feel good about him coming in and competing as a starter.
How much has he played in the slot?
He's played a little bit, but not a ton.
Is the UConn system included a lot of press?
Yeah, they play a lot of press. Matter of fact, we cut down every single play where he was impressed, and I think it was 160 some odd plays.
Dave, you like the overall, all three guys a good fit of value and need?
Yeah, absolutely. Value and need, it matched perfect. Somebody in the draft room told me, I forget who it was, and they said, hey, these are the three guys we were targeting about a month ago. And, you know, we weren't 100% sure that a corner like Dwayne would be there in the third round, and that, you know, that played into a little bit in terms of us taking a safety earlier. We knew John was not going to be there in the third round, and so that's kind of where we did it. We were holding it, and to be honest with you, Dwayne was our last man standing there, and we went right down to the wire with that one.
What do you mean? If he'd been gone, you'd have drop off?
We would have just quit. No, we would have had to go a different position.
Oh, different position.
Yeah.
How important is tomorrow?
Very important, and we look at these guys that we're going to get tomorrow in the 4 through 7 rounds in the college free agents. They're going to come in and compete for not only positions on this team, but starting positions. I mean, Coach Bradley and his staff, they've preached day in, day out competitiveness, and that's what's going to go on here, and that's a great selling point for any college kid that does not get drafted that wants to come here.
Any one position more than any other that you're looking at tomorrow to fill?
No, we're just going to see where the board. We'll sit there tonight after, you know, this round gets over, and we'll look and see where the best value is for us and where we have needs still.
And, of course, when people come up with the usual criticism of, geez, the quarterbacks that were available there, why didn't the Jaguars go and take a third round? And your answer would be?
We had greater needs at other positions.
Okay. I apparently Russ Lee agrees that there were two quarterbacks on the first two rounds. I guess league doesn't think this is a good quarterback class.
That would appear that way. But not a lot. This is the one thing about this year's draft. There's not a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the fall, and teams are filling their needs for where they have first. And there's a handful of teams that need them desperately. And I think one of them took one already, but two of them took them. So
this quarterback can start as a rookie.
Well, he has to compete to do it.
Yeah,
but he has a skill set to do it, and we hope that he comes in and does it. Yeah, you know, obviously that's going to go on through these OTAs and mini camp and through training camp, and the best guy is going to start. So it doesn't matter if you're a third round or first round or second round or college free agent. I think the best guy is going to start.
Since you're bringing a quarterback before the fourth round at the best, it looks like Henning and Gabbert are the guys. So one of them is going to start this year.
Well, we'll see. There's going to be at least another quarterback.
But yeah, I know that quarterback, but pretty unusual for a rookie to come in drafted after the third round and start as a rookie.
You never know. You never know. We'll see.
And now that Geno Smith with the Jets, looks like he was being cut. Jaguar fans are asking again.
Jaguar fans or Vito's asking again?
No, yeah, I guess. I can handle that all the time. They still want to know, what do you have to lose by bringing him in?
I think he's still a member of the Jets, and we'll leave it as that.
Yeah, one more here, Ryan.
He's not.
Geno Smith, you guys met with him a lot out there.
Yep.
What kind of, now that he's with another team, what wasn't he the right fit for you guys?
Well, you know, it was just a situation where he had greater needs. And, you know, we like Geno, and we think he's going to be a good player. And I think he exceeded our expectations when we met with him. And I think he's going to be a good player up there in New York.
All right, Gus.
Okay.
Thanks, Gus.
See you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, David. Never know.
I mean, barring something drastic, but
so there's competition going on right now.
I'm
starting to sense a theme.
See a left corner or a right corner?
Yeah. You know what? I think. I mean, obviously he's competitive. He's a really good football player. I think you can say that about Gratz. He plays different coverages. It's not just. He's not just a press corner. You see a lot of snaps of him playing press, but you saw him also playing off some cover two snaps where he just understood the game pretty well. I think another important aspect for our corners are the reason for you're looking for size is durability. I mean, if this guy ends up coming in and starting, you know, if he ends through the competition part of it, becomes our guy, you need someone that you can count on week in and week out to line up there and play. And generally the guys that are, you know, over 200 pounds and the physical style that we play, those guys have had just a little bit more success. So I think that's one of the traits that we really liked about him as well.
He had the most bench presses of any guy at the combine in corners. How does he use that strength?
Well, I mean, it's another asset for us, you know, the ability to press. He's strong at the line of scrimmage. You know, I saw, what is he, 5'11", Ryan?
Yeah.
5'11", something. 5'11", you know, you'd say, well, Gus, that's not the traditional 6'2 guy that you're accustomed to, or 6'3 guy. It's not always the height. I mean, that's great to have, but it's also the length, the arm length, and the strength at the line of scrimmage. And so in order to do that, you have to have some size.
And he can run.
And he can run, yeah. One of our top principles is to stay on top. And, you know, a team might throw some comebacks on us and get us in those spots, but he's got to be able to run and stay on top of receivers.
Did you like the durability about all three of your picks so far?
Yeah.
I mean, is that?
Yeah, that's, you know, the reliability part. You know, tough, reliable, smart. You know, I think all of our grades, without getting into it, which, have all fared out very well. So, this young man, we had a chance. We flew up to UConn and visited with them. And we worked him out, I believe, on a Saturday.
Yep.
A Saturday. We went up there and worked him out right before their spring practice and put him through a bunch of drills. And then I know I met with him, and our defensive coordinator, Bob Babish, met with him and spent a lot of time in the classroom with him. So I had a pretty good feel coming out of there, you know, his mentality.
You've helped your secondary. But it's hard to cover when you're not rushing the passer. What is the rest going to be of that?
Yeah.
I know you could fix everything, but, you know.
But we really stuck with Vito, our, you know, on our board, the best guy. And we didn't want to take a guy that was going to be a rusher just to say, okay, we filled that need. We really looked at it and said, we need to get the best available. And on our chart, and it was a nip and tuck, I'll tell you that, at the end there. We were all standing in the war room watching for the last couple picks, we were fortunate that we was there. I told you earlier that we put ourselves through all different scenarios, and one of the scenarios in the second and third round was Cyprian and Gratz. It's amazing, yeah. It's amazing. I think we had three different scenarios. And one, we looked at taking a corner in the second round and a safety in the third. You know, we said, okay, if these things fell into place, you know, in case a Cyprian wasn't there, you know, now what is our plan? And so it was just unique that it happened that way, you know.
Was there a pass rush in these scenarios, or just not a good draft for second round, third round pass rush?
The first round. We had some conversations about some of those pass rushers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there
and
was.
Second and third, they weren't good in those two rounds.
We didn't feel as strongly about it.
Mm-hmm. And there's,
yes, you were standing there at the end of the second round and going, and everybody stood up and you're like, oh, wow, that guy's gone. And that, I mean, is that kind of what the feeling was like?
Well, he was more like, he's still there, he's still there, he's still there. I mean, we had options. It's amazing. You went in and could go see our draft board. The first, second, and third, the first and second round is white clean.
Yeah.
It's just like all the ones. There's no extra cards up there where people, this guy, where we misprojected him, you know. And Shad commented on it. He said, "Look at that, Gus." I said, "It's amazing." You know, how it went, just followed our board to a T. And that's really with some guys that we, you know, maybe graded higher or lower based on scheme fits. So I give a lot of credit to Dave and the scouting staff. They did a nice job. All we did was kind of present the guys that we're looking for, and they had to put it in order, you know, how they thought it would fall out and where we'd have to take these guys.
Probably so the top 62 guys you had rated all went in the top 62.
I think there was, one guy in the first and second round that was still on our board.
Just one.
Yeah.
Anything else, Mark?
Are there any quarterbacks in the third round that made you think of Russell Wilson, that maybe you could take this guy in the third round?
Yeah. Well, there's some, you know, we have some guys in there in the third round, you know, but, you know, the first two rounds, the board, how we had it projected would go is where it's at.
I probably should have asked Dave this, but Tyrann Mathieu just came off the board. Was he even an option for you guys, or was it, does he not fit scheme-wise?
He was still on our board. He was still on our board, not in the rounds that we looked at him, or maybe a little bit lower than where we chose, but he wasn't one that was off of our board.
Okay.
So I really did like him as a player, really liked him as a player.
But there were some question marks there.
Yeah.
Man, we want to see those 12 who aren't on your board.
What's that? What did he say?
Well, Dave said the Monday that there were 12 guys off the board, and if Tyrann Mathieu is still on the board, they want to see the 12 taken off.
Good question. I don't know if I can name those guys. Thank you.
He's going to be calling right now, Dwayne. I know you guys are on the night.
Good to see you.
That's good. Okay. Have a good night.
Okay.
Thank you. If you wanted to see the board, you could make that happen.
Those are the thoughts of head coach Gus Bradley and general manager David Caldwell. We're live on Jaguars.com. Dwayne Gratz is the latest draft pick for the Jaguars in the third round.
I think they transformed me out here magically, right?
You're good.
I was just in there.
It's like morphing you into different locations. It's the magic of television.
Well, there's two of me, which is a bad thing.
I don't know. What are your thoughts after hearing those two?
Well, clearly they think this guy is a very good mix of speed and the ability to press. And I said earlier, physical guy, I think they like his speed a lot. He's not that huge physical corner that you want, but he can play physical and he can play press. And it's interesting, they think that he clearly has a skill set to start right away. He's got to compete for it, but they think they have three starters with these first three guys.
And Gus Bradley said they actually went to UConn to Storrs to work him out right before their spring day. As I think Ryan O'Halloran asked the question about the having the most bench presses at the combine, and this was of defensive backs, and that was a show of the strength for Dwayne. So a guy they obviously have been looking at for a little bit and looking at very close, but a guy a lot of folks might not have heard of, frankly.
Well, it was interesting to hear them talk about the way their board fell and that they were waiting for this guy. And sometimes with a team, you're not sure what the pre-draft visits mean, what the guys who are coming in here mean. Sometimes it's smoke screens. Some teams have different philosophies. I think we've seen from the first three picks, Luke Jokel was in here. Jonathan Cyprin was in here. They went and visited this guy. This is a team, I think, partly because of Gus, likes to get to know its guys before they take them. He has talked about having a good feel and a good rapport with all three of these guys. Moving forward, I think we can see that that's going to be a clue as to what this team likes with Gus Bradley as a head coach.
One notable selection just a moment ago you heard in there, Tyrann Mathieu is selected by the Cardinals, 69th overall, 7th pick of the third round. I know a lot of people have been asking you about Geno Smith, and he went earlier today. What did they say about the passing of Geno in there?
Well, it was, I kind of asked somebody on Twitter today, why wouldn't they take Geno Smith? Well, because they like other guys more. Right now, they felt like there were greater needs on this team than quarterback. If they were going to take players in the first three rounds, they wanted to make sure that those guys could come in, improve them immediately, and start right away. It's pretty clear they didn't think there was a quarterback in this draft who could come in and be clearly the starter in this situation. So it looks like Chad Henne, Blaine Gabbert are going to compete for this with Luke Jokel. Should have a better situation for those guys on offense.
And the draft is not over yet either.
No,
let's put it that way. There's about four more rounds remaining starting tomorrow afternoon.
But realistically, it'll be difficult. I think Vito pointed this out. It'll be difficult for a quarterback fourth round and down to come in and beat out one of these guys, guys with veteran experience. So it looks like it'll be a competition between Henny, Gabbert, and the other guy who comes in. But either way, I think the feeling is with Luke Jokel on the roster, you've got more of pass protection, a better way to maybe gauge what Henny and Gabbert can really do.
Do you expect any more action tonight for the Jags?
I'd be surprised. I don't think their MO or their want this year is to trade up and give up picks. This is a team that would rather accumulate talent. I still think tomorrow they would love to trade down, maybe get an extra pick or two. I thought they would have liked to get into double digits.
Right.
It doesn't seem like the environment was right for that sort of trading with the nature of this year's draft. But would they like to get eight, like to get maybe nine somehow? Sure. But I can't see them moving up.
They had some calls, they've said, but obviously not serious enough inquiries.
Well, inquiries, and as we sort of alluded earlier, they researched these three guys that they got. They got to know every one of these guys. I've been around teams where you talk to the pick on the phone, and the pick's like, I had no idea they were interested. All three of these guys have talked, hey, I met Gus. I met Dave. They knew what was going on. They knew this team. So that's the sort of thing they wanted. Gus talked a lot before the draft about wanting to get football players who loved football, wanted to compete. It's hard to know that unless you've talked to them. So that was clearly part of the equation for these first three guys.
Good stuff, John. Thank you very much. We'll look for John's writing here on Jaguars.com. Hey, the last four rounds of this draft coming up tomorrow starting at noon. We'll have coverage after the day is done of all the picks tomorrow. Here's a recap of what's coming tomorrow. Fourth round, 98th overall pick. Fifth round, 135th overall pick. Sixth round, 169. And in the seventh round, 208. That's the schedule, at least, for tomorrow. Stay with us here on Jaguars.com. We'll have immediate reaction coming from the Dwayne Gratz selection in the third round. We'll have a phone interview coming up as well. For John Osher and everyone involved, J.P. Shadrick, we'll see you later on Jaguars.com.